Let's begin with Siman Chafei. Our topic, first topic today is Mischar Im Yehudi. As in, if you have to choose, opt to do business with a Jew over a non-Jew, what if it costs more or less? So this is the section on that topic. Kishesh lo is a davar l'mkor, v'niz damin l'fanav Yisrael v'akum, chayav l'mkor l'Yisrael, v'hu adin l'inyan im tzarek l'knot, v'chin l'skor m'tawelet b'shneim shaveh. If you have an item for sale, there's two people who want to buy it at that price, a Jew and a non-Jew. You're supposed to sell it to the Jew. So too, if you want to buy an item or rent an item, and there's two places you could do it from, a Jewish owner or company or a non-Jewish one, as long as the benefit is the same, then you have to choose the Jew. But, what if he adds one little tiny bit extra? In other words, it costs $50 on one and $51 on the other. So now, can you say, well, because it's a dollar cheaper, I'm going to use the non-Jew? Afilu hachi mutav l'mkor l'Yisrael b'pachot v'odin l'nyan l'knot, shemutav l'knot l'Yisrael afimad yotek. So it's better to buy from a Jew or sell to a Jew, even if it's slightly more or slightly less. But, that's something that doesn't have a set price. In other words, if everybody knows this item is $50, and the non-Jew is willing to sell to you for the going rate. The Jew wants his, I'm your cousin's brother's third uncle's second neighbor's former chavruta's roommate, and I want a special discount. The Torah does not expect that of you. That's even if there weren't another option, you're not expected to give him a discount. He wants you to pay him a little extra. You are not obligated to do that. So, something that doesn't have a going rate. If there's any way that that it's about the same price, so then you're supposed to choose the Jew. But if something has a going rate, so then you can pay the going rate. And if somebody's trying to get you to do the rate that's not the going rate, so you don't even a little bit, you don't have to go above the going rate in order to give your business to a Jewish person. In the footnote, he points out that, okay, what if, you know, it's a little bit of a tzedakah case to give to that Jew? He says that's already another sugya. We're talking about a regular business transaction. You don't have to choose to give the Jew if it's gonna cost you more. If it's
Is it still better to do business with a Jew who costs a bit, like,
if it's a bit more, it's better. But I don't know that we expect that of you. In other words, if you're gonna take a loss just to do the business with a Jew, so if it's all the same, so yes, we prefer that you do keep. You know, there's 10 companies in town that have a car wash. And the car wash in about all of them is, I don't know, $10. So one of them is owned by a Jew. One of them is owned, you know, there's five of them, there's 10 of them, I don't know. Eight of them owned by Jews and two non-Jews, or vice versa. Two owned by Jews, and so then choose to go to one of the Jewish ones, if they're all the same. If this car wash is so much better, this car, you know, then we're already talking about something different. If this car wash is $20 and that one's $10, we don't expect you to go to the $20 one just to support the Jewish one. You're allowed to get the $10 car wash from someone else. There's a lot of places where you have like a drug plan, where if you you go to the pharmacy, whatever your drug is that you know that you need, the pharmaceutical, you have to pay $5, $10 copay. You don't have to pay the full cost of the drug. So all the pharmacies, you know, accept this insurance. So there's a Jewish pharmacy here, and there's, you know, a chain pharmacy there. So if it's the same to you, so you should go to the Jewish pharmacy. What if it's slightly more, slightly less? It's still only if it's, okay, $6 instead of $5, maybe. But if it's $20 instead of $5, no one expects you to do that. And also, where it's fundamentally different, as we've been discussing a few times. In one place, the guy's a jerk. In one place, oh, how can I help you? Thank you so much for coming. Okay, that's already, he's offering a different product. This one is 3 blocks away and that one is 2, so you should, you know, do that. This one's a mile away and this one is 2 blocks away. So then, you know, maybe you're not expecting. This one has a parking lot and that one doesn't, and I'm going to look for parking. So we're already talking about different experiences. So just to support the Jew, you don't have to do that. When all other things are being equal, there's a Jew offering the service and a non-Jew offering the service, we tell you that you should be supporting the Jewish company. So like if you need an oil change, there's one of these 20-minute oil change places, and they charge $20. And then there's an all-day oil change place and charges $15. And the all-day one is Jew, and he's like, I'm cheaper, you have to come to me. No, because in his place, I'll be done in 20 minutes with you, I don't have my car all day. So just because you're cheaper doesn't mean I have to use it. There's no rule when you're not getting the same situation. It's only with all other things being equal, or close to equal, as I said, when there's a set price. So and when there's not a set price, so then you could do that. There's Shitas, the Minchas Yitzchak, which is the Rav from Manchester, later they had a Charedis in Yerushalayim. He says there's a Daraita. Okay? This is not something to be treated lightly. What exactly falls in the case? You might need a posting to tell you, am I really getting the same thing? But if it's clear to you that this one's way better, so then all of a sudden it's way better, then that's what you do. Fine. The next sif, and there's a small one, Chavav, Gam Yish Limkor V'Leknot Miyudim Shomrei Torah Mitzvot V'Limkor V'Leknot Yudim She'enam Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. It's not just a Jew versus a non-Jew, but the same thing is true when it comes to from Jews and non-from Jews. If there's a from Jew and a non-from Jew offering the same business, you are supposed to give the business to your fellow from Jew. Again, all other things being equal. Chazon Ish tells you that someone formerly from, and this as a din of a guy. So we'd go, but a Tinok Shenishba would come before the Gentile. So obviously after someone from, so they have a hierarchy of what to do. But if that guy's business is way better and closer and nicer and cleaner and, I don't know, has guarantees and who knows what, so then none of this applies, okay? This applies in the limited case where everybody's the same or similar. Okay, all the supermarkets are selling you the same can of Coke, and this one's a kosher for the same price. Sometimes the kosher supermarket's more expensive. Okay, so then, but if they're all offering it for the same price, he has a sale. So then you should be getting it from him, and not that's what it's saying. Chavzai. Our next topic is doing business with food that's not kosher. Kol davar she'asum in a Torah afal pi she'mutar ben anam with davar miyuchad ma'achal asur lasot paschora. Anything that is usher in the Torah for you to eat, even if it is something you're allowed to get enough from, so you cannot do business with that, except for chelev behemah Torah, there's a special exception, a limud there. But in other words, basar b'chalav, we all know, because the Torah writes it three times, one is isser achila, one is isser bishul, one is isser no. You can't get benefit from milk and meat. Okay? But nevelo, trefo, you can get benefit from. You're not allowed to eat it, but you can get benefit from it. And even that, you're not allowed to make your business from it. Let's finish the sif, and then if you still have your question, I'll answer it, okay? So, So let's say you're a kosher butcher, a kosher shnita house. So you're shechting, I don't know, 1,000 sheep, or 1,000 chickens, or whatever it is, and you shech them all, and 990 of them are kosher, and 10 of them are treif. So you're allowed to sell the 10 treif ones to a non-Jew. You're not making your business in the treif ones. You happen to have that. I don't know, somebody messed up in the shrita, the animal had a boo-boo, whatever it is, and made it not kosher. So you're allowed to sell. You don't have to throw them away and lose the money. So probably it's going to be slightly cheaper than what we're able to sell kosher meat for. But you don't have to take that major loss. That's called nizdam. It happened. So if it happened, you're allowed to sell it like that. If the Isser isn't an Isser Doraita, but it's an Isser Midrabanan, then you are even allowed to make it your business. Okay, we'll get to some examples in a second. Did we answer the question of you? If not, we'll take your question. Okay, remind me your name?
Nachem.
Nachem? Okay.
Are you allowed to have like stocks in McDonald's?
Yeah, so you're allowed to have... It's a little bit complicated, but the minhag is to be lenient, because what we consider stocks... is like you don't really own it, okay? There are people who are machmir to like sell their stocks in companies before Pesach, okay? So maybe harizim shubach, you know, you include that in your chametz sale. But in general, what we consider that you actually own when you own stocks, you're not really the owner. On the other hand, if there's a local McDonald's and you're the part owner and they're selling, you know, treif, so then you're in the business of it. That's Like, to actually own a McDonald's would be usher. To own a share of this $1 million thing. And
is that still halal?
So it's not clear that you're getting halal from Basar B'Cholov, because they sell lots of items. There is a Dagel Miravava, that's the same author as Noda Yehuda, who talks about Basar B'Cholov. He says Basar B'Cholov applies anyway, but there are many other shitot, I'll tell you what the other sheet is when you'll understand in a second, who say it only applies to kosher meat and kosher cheese. So we're choshesh to the Dagum Rebaba, Lamaisa. But there is the other sheet, so the Dievet, when you know, you're owning a share, you're not, McDonald's isn't shechting meat and then adding kosher cheese on top of it. They're using treif meat and treif cheese. Might not even be a cow, you know, it might be dog and horse, who knows. So, don't sue me. No, okay, so it's a little more complicated about investing, and you know, I'm not the expert on it. I've read through this book and given over the material and discussing with you and coming up with the examples that I thought of. So, but my understanding is that people do invest in stocks. I feel a little bit of a conscience. I don't know, I wouldn't invest in one that's like smoking or something, you know, or you know, the cocaine stock. It's probably not one to buy. Okay, but you can't be in the trade of hot dog business at a sports event. But remember, I said that midrabanan you're allowed to do. So let's say you discover you have a chance to invest in like non-kosher Swiss cheese. And so Swiss non-kosher cheese is mamid. Mamid is midrabanan. So you want to be a partner in such a business, you could do it. If you get a gift basket, I once got a gift basket somewhere. So a gift basket to a kosher items and then the non-kosher item. So I happen to just give away the non-kosher item. I'm not in the gift basket business in any way. I won the gift basket. But if you wanted, you could sell the treif item. That you're not in that business, you just happen to get it. In the footnotes in the book, he does say about stocks, by the way. I did write it down in a note. And he says, in Pesach, some are more machmir l'chumra. But in this we're making on that regard, you can own stock in a company that's going to do that. The Pitchei Tshuva has an interesting case. You're renting a town, so then part of the deal of renting the town is you need to feed the workers. So you could buy them treif. Okay, you're not allowed to buy basar b'chalav because then you're getting another basar b'chalav. You can buy them non-kosher meat. Okay, you can buy them pig. There's no ways around non-pig. Okay? It's the same true if like you have a nursing home and you have to feed the workers or the employees or whatever it is, so then you're allowed to get it. The best would be, and he says this in the parentheses, is workers need to be fed, give them like vouchers and you know or money, and everybody can go out and buy $20 worth on the company, so then they're getting what they want and then it's not you, but that's already like an extra wonderful chumrah. But really you're not getting this isn't your business isn't that you're selling all these people trade food. Your business is that these people are working for you and you have to provide them lunch. So then you're allowed to provide them whatever the lunch is. Okay. Next topic is Chazarami Dibor, backing out on something. Who here has heard of something called a Misha Para? Misha Para is a shorthand. Like Gemara says, Misha Para, whoever punished Dora Mabo. Chazal said he will punish somebody who backs out on a business deal. So we don't like when people make a deal and then don't keep their word. And it's a curse on such a person. So who falls under that category? What is considered backing out? So it's a little bit of a complicated topic. We're going to give some general guidelines. The Maisa, if it ever happens to you that you feel you need to back out, this seif is just enough to make you aware that it's an issue of a shayla and go ask an appropriate posik. But asur lachzor me'amekach ben lokach me'mocher, neither the buyer nor the seller can back out of a deal. Mizman she'eskimu al kol tnai hamechira v'natan damim. As soon as you've made a deal, you agree to the terms, and you gave the money. Gam yamor adam b'diburo mizman she'eskimu al kol tnai hamechira af al pi shelo natan maot v'lo asa shum asakinyan rak dvar ba'am. So the first one is Yisur, and this is you should stand by as soon as you make an agreement, even if you didn't give the money, and even if you didn't make a kinyan, it was just an agreement. Pashut dimechila moela levatal dinimelo. But it's clear that if the two sides agree to back out of the deal, that this curse doesn't stand by. So you can't go back on a deal once you've agreed to the terms. This is where the object is still whole, meaning if you agreed to buy the car and then you watch the car, you know, get sideswiped or something, or you know, there's a flood or a hurricane, and all you have is the agreement, and it suddenly lost all its value, and all that's missing is the kinyan, so then it's different. The Aruch HaShulchan says, even if the market changed, in the meantime, you're not allowed to back out. The Sma was one of the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch, says, even if you only gave part of the money, you can't back out on the unpaid part. Even if the buyer just gave you an IOU, I'll owe you the money rather than the money. But you're supposed to stand by your word, even without giving money, even without a kinyan. In fact, a Yari Shemayim will pay even the thought you had in your part. It's a rather well-known story in the Gemara that the person was busy and somebody was asking him, and because he couldn't answer, like he was in Shmona Esrei or something, so the person kept raising the price. And then when he was done with Shmona Esrei, he's like, I couldn't answer, I was in the middle of Shmona Esrei, I agreed, I would have sold you at the first price you asked. You kept raising the price because you thought I wasn't responsive, but I wasn't responsive because I was busy, so you gave it to me at the lower price. Is that maker a din? I don't know that it is. But it's certainly a wonderful, you know, Kiddush Hashem, when you do that, this is a Yari Shemayim would do that. So too with any other Ben Adam Chaveru, if you thought to do your friend a certain favor, you still can. But all this is all if everything remained the same, if the market price changed, if it changed a small amount, it's machloket. If it fluctuated a lot, we're mekel. So let's give some examples, and hopefully this becomes clear. Let's say you want to sell your car, and Reuven agrees to buy it for you for $5,000. So he gives you $1,000. That's all he has on him. And then someone shows up and says, Reuven, happy birthday to you. Here's a new car. So now, Reuven doesn't want my car. He doesn't want my junky old car for $5,000. He's got a new car. So he still has to pay the rest, unless he can convince me otherwise. You come to me and be like, listen, you know, I would like to back out. Is that fine? Okay. Remember I said, mechila, if the person forgives you, so okay, I'll find somebody else to buy it. Great, he's off the hook. But if I say, no, I'm counting on you giving me $5,000, I already turned down the other 8 people who wanted to buy from me, so Reuven's still on the hook. Okay? If he didn't give any money yet, it's Dvar Ma'alma, he can back out because that counts as a substantial change. As in, now I have a car, I don't need your car. Got it? It's clear? Your question.
If you're going to, like, Amazon or things like that, you bookmark an item and registers on their service, that's how things get bookmarked. Would that be considered, or even just going into a shop and looking at a particular item, that considered...
No. No, the seller does. I've sold things, like I had some extra textbooks in college. When it gets bought, you get told. When it's in somebody's shopping cart, you don't get told. So until you buy it, yeah.
Like Amazon, like says, like please note if you put it in your cart,
someone else can take it. Sometimes they're like out of stock, right? I've had Amazon items in my cart, only 2 left. Click now, and then the 2 got gone. And I got no waitlist or nothing, you know. So then you didn't do anything. Okay, that's the point. Let's say a guy, Reuven moves into Shimon's apartment. So Shimon, before he moves out, he's like, listen, I have an air conditioner. Do you wanna buy it from me? So why does Shimon want to sell the air conditioner? Because he's moving to a new apartment where Levi is, and Levi has air conditioning. He moves into Levi's apartment, and he sees the air conditioners are gone. So even though I agreed to sell them to Shimon, I was selling them to Shimon because I thought I didn't need them in my... I would sell them to Reuven. Shimon agreed to sell them to Reuven. Why? Because he thought he didn't need them in Levi's apartment. Turns out he needs them. So no money changed hands. He took the ACs with him. Shimon came back out of the sale on the ACs. Okay, and that's considered a significant change where no money changed hands. Money did change hands. He's not allowed to back out. Okay, and then you get a Misha part. Does this apply to a non-Jew? So a Pipashtut, you should act this way anyway, but there's no Misha part on this. The curse doesn't apply. If you agree to sell to a non-Jew, and you want to sell to a Jew, that might be considered unforeseen circumstances, you could back out. but you have to be careful about Chil Hashem. But the Isser on the there isn't an Isser on a transaction with a guy like that. A down payment is considered an agreement that you can back out. As in, when there's a deposit. Sometimes you buy something and a $50 deposit, or a $100 or a $1,000 deposit. What happens if you don't buy it? They keep the $1,000. If you do buy it, it's the first $1,000 of your sale. So what is that? That's essentially an agreement that you cannot buy it. So you have to let them keep the $1,000. So you might be in your, sometimes, right? In the option where you got a new car, and that means that you don't want to pay the other $4,000, so it could be worth it to give up the $1,000 and save the other $4,000. That's your decision. But that means that you're not backing out of the transaction because those are the terms. Where there's a deposit, that's considered the terms and the fees. Okay. Any questions on that before we move to the last section? Okay. Tacharut is competition. Chavtet. Hamachazer achar davar leknoto l'sachro bein karka bein metaltolin bein skirat poel mutil achar lavo leknoto l'sachro im lo netratu shnei atzadim al mechir v'halchulehem. Somebody is looking to buy something or rent something, whether it's land, whether it's an object, whether it's hiring a worker. So somebody else can come and as long as they didn't close the deal and walk away, I can offer make a better offer. So the guy is selling my car, you know, $5,000. And some guy's like, listen, you know, how about I'll give you $4,800. So as long as he's doing that, I'm allowed to walk to him and say, hey, $5,000. And he says, okay, $4,800, you got it. And they walked away, so now I'm not allowed to do it, because he already agreed with him. But if he didn't agree yet, there's no, if it's for sale, I'm allowed to do it. Okay? Then he says, "V'im no dal lemochar sheish kona acher achar hanoach lo yoter mizer rishon." He has another buyer he would prefer to work with. In a lavis, if not a lavis, no chetzel mechirim rishon. As long as he hasn't made a deal with the first guy, he can go to the second guy. So, as long as the negotiations are continuing and they didn't agree and it's not closed, then it's allowed. If it's towards the ends of the negotiation, there might be a little bit of a shaila. If they're about to agree and about to shake hands, and you go, wait. But if he's like, okay, here you go, and they're about to make the deal, might be then. But as long as that hasn't happened, so we're not close to finalizing, so you're allowed to make a better offer. So an example, if the seller puts an ad in the paper and I sign the car, my car is for sale. And Reuven says, I'll give you $5,000 for it. And Shimon's selling it for $6,000. So Reuven wants to see that, you know, if Shimon sees nobody's going to buy for $6,000, he'll sell for $5,000. So you're allowed to come and offer $5,500. There's no issue with that. There is an exception in the poskim on this is when it's for sale. In the case of a matana where it's a gift, there might be a little bit of an issue. For example, a guy says, "I'm giving away my couch." So Reuven calls and leaves a message on the machine, hey, can I get your couch? You're also allowed to call and say, leave a message. If the couch is still available, I'd like it. Why? Because the guy's giving it away. He doesn't have to give it away to the first person. You could give it, my next door neighbor wants it, even better. You know, rather than a stranger. Okay, there's no rule. That's where it's free. Where it's money is already a difference. What about if it's a sale at a great discount? You know, I'll give it to you for... You know, sometimes somebody's trying to get rid of something, like, and it's like a $500 item, and they're like, give me $50 for it, just to, you know, just want it out of here. So, you could probably offer $100 or more, but, you know, you might have to check with the posting first, because already there, it's like, you're swooping down the sale, as long as it seems like somebody's almost made a deal. Lamed. Yisrael she'etchil be'esek o'malacha bein im Yisrael acher, bein im akum, asur la'acher l'shtadol sa'ak rishon. A Jew started a business deal with either another Jew or a non-Jew, you can't come and try to replace him. Okay? He's always used this accountant. You're an accountant. You can't be like, let me be your accountant. I said. Yisrael ha'gil itasek im akum miskar malacham utar liyisrael ishtadel itz la'akum shitasek imo shiyasayim ha'malacha im belavach yish mochrim akum achirim shicholim unyanim l'shachnei oto akum shitasek imahem. But, let's say... The Jew normally does business with a certain non-Jew. And you know, everybody's soliciting this guy. Everybody wants his business. So it's not like this guy has a lock. So you're allowed to be one of the 10 companies trying to solicit his business. But, kone et bali Yisrael, mocher me'alam, inot zareh b'tchoto ha'shoto ha'kom ragilit ha'sik m'Yisrael acher, inachim shnamet l'nagorlo. You know that this non-Jew always does business with your Jewish friend, and the non-Jew comes to you knowing you do the same thing, and says, can I hire you? You don't have to turn him away. If he approaches you, then it's not like you're taking the business. Even though you know that he's had 10-year relationship, steady client with your fellow Jew, it doesn't matter, because he approached you, you're allowed. You don't have to say, no, you work with Reuven, leave me alone. So for example, you're an accountant, you know, this guy always uses Eliyahu's accounting. So you can't speak to that company and say, come use my company. He always uses Eliyahu. But let's say he usually uses Eliyahu, but everybody's looking to be this guy's accountant. And there's 10 companies, you know, so you could be one of them also. If he's going to switch accountants anyway, why not switch to your company? That's allowed. And if he comes to you, you know, the guy says, hey, you know, I hear you sell, party goods. So you could say, well, but don't you always buy your party goods from Reuven? You don't have to. If he comes to you, you could do it. If he calls you up to price swap, you can try to rope him in. Oh, you know, the first one is, you know, half off. That you're allowed to do. There's certain businesses where it's accepted, where it's the standard practice. I don't know in Australia, but in America, this is the case in phone companies. If you have a phone, they'll call up your phone and say, hey, what are you paying for your long distance? And whatever number you say, they will offer you $5 less to come join them for the first year, you know, come join their phone company. Okay, and that's standard in the phone company business. Then you're allowed to do that too. Even if the contract that he has happens to be with a Jew, you know, usually these things are incorporated or whatever. But saying, let's say in theory there would be something like that, that would be the same type of thing, that everybody just come to me, and, you know, first year, low APR, you know, credit card, or there are certain things where that's the method of operations, that's allowed. Okay? What we're talking about is where he's the regular client, so you're not allowed to try and take it from him. But if everybody's trying to take it from him, you're also allowed to be one who's taking it from him. Yes?
Does it matter if everyone's doing it, or if there's one company that everyone knows does that specifically?
I don't know.
Like in South Africa, we've got one grocery store which was doing a thing at one stage where they called brand match. So, okay, whatever any of the other shops are offering will give you the lowest of all prices.
So you're saying the price match, in other words, will be cheaper than everybody else.
Yeah.
So then everybody's allowed to price match. They're setting the market then. So everyone's allowed to try to match that company's prices to me. But in other words, they're advertising, come join me. And the guy's considering, now do I stay with my regular guy or join them? At that point, you're allowed to swoop in and be like, join me. That's allowed. The last one is something we've heard of called a Asagas Gvul. Right? That competing with another company's business. Kol ben ota ira kovea chanud romanun afilu betzad chanuto amnatosh chavero en chavero yachol akev alav afal pi shebazek goring v'meit parnasot tosh harishon. If you live in town, you can open up a shop the exact same kind as someone else's shop in town. You're allowed to open a business in your own town. As long as v'hainush eno doche parnasot harishon v'esek zelagamre. As long as you don't completely put him out of business. In other words, if the guy had the only one in town, and he was earning $400,000 a year, and now you open one up, and you'll each earn $200,000 a year, that's allowed. But if you open up, and because you're so much better, you're going to earn $390,000 a year, and he's going to earn 10, and essentially have to shut down because he's working at a loss, so that would be a violation, and you're not allowed to do that. You're also allowed to draw customers to your store. Every kid who comes in gets a balloon. So our family is going to come in. You know, he might have his steady customers, but other people are going to want the pleasant buying experience. That's allowed. You're also allowed to have low prices, introductory low offers. Except, everyone knows that in order to make it in this business, you have to charge X amount. So what's your goal? you have enough money in the bank, you're a big company, let's say, and a lot of the big companies do this, and Allah is saying this isn't the most ethical practice, but they say, okay, we're going to open a store in town, and there's all the existing mom-and-pop shops, and so the first year, we're going to be selling pizza at 25 cents a slice, and everyone's selling it for $3 a slice. No one else can afford to sell the pizza at 25 cents a slice. So what's going to happen? Everyone's going to come to your store. All the other stores are going to close. And then when they're closed, okay, you'll raise the prices up. So that is not something that is allowed halakhically. So let's just go through a few examples. With that, we'll end. I see we're out of time. So if the guy has a suit store and he's making, like I said, $400,000 a year, so you can move in and each make $200,000. But if you're going to make $390,000, he's going to make $10,000. So that's a problem. Reuven has to understand it's because you serve your customers better, otherwise he'd get more business if you were nicer. Let's say a guy has a shop at the end of a, you know, a mall that's a dead end, and you open up in the middle, so you're going to take away all his business, so he might tell you to move. In addition to computer background, when I was in high school, I was involved in a pizza store, a chain of pizza stores. And one of the places the pizza store opened was in Teaneck, New Jersey. There's guys here from Teaneck. You're all aware of Teaneck. It's a big Jewish community with, like, many pizza stores, many restaurants. They're very, you know, part of the culture there. So we opened up, I was just a high schooler. I was not an owner, but I was one of the people working there. But I was familiar with what was going on in the store. So they opened up in Teaneck, and apparently the pizza was that much better and who knows what. So they took us to Din Torah. And I was not involved in Din Torah. This is all related to me secondhand. But you should know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I may have mentioned at the beginning of one of these, he has a tshuva that in New York there's no issue of a summer school. There's such a large community, such a large Jewish community, there's enough business to go around. It doesn't happen there. If you're in the middle of nowhere, you know, I imagine it's a difference between opening up a kosher restaurant in Perth versus Melbourne, opening up one in Johannesburg versus Durban. Okay, there's, you know, is there enough Jewish community to support multiple kosher establishments or just one? So imagine you're in one with multiple. So the Moshe Feinstein said that's not a problem. There's enough business to go around. So, and that's the going practice in New York. So what happened was everyone was going to that pizza store, and there were a few other pizza shops there. So they but they know the psak that there's no business to go around. So they actually asked them to do a pshara. So on Motzei Shabbos, they had to close their parking lot. As in, if you wanted to come to the store on Motzei Shabbos, then you would have to find parking. And that allowed the other stores to have enough, because Motzei Shabbos is a big night for eating out pizza, to have enough business so that they could all stay in business while the store wouldn't take all the business. But if the guy has just an ISA, so that's, I give the example of the soup store, he's earning $400,000. What if he's earning $30,000? And now you open up and he's going to make $15,000, so then he's going to have to close. If it's a little side business, still, doesn't matter. You can't make a guy not be able to stay open. What if, even if he's making $200,000, he has a lot of expenses, he's making his kid's wedding and his doctor bills, we feel bad, but you're still allowed to open. And if your product is different, you're allowed to open. He sells lemonade, and you want to sell a Coca-Cola, so you're allowed, even if no one's going to buy the lemonade. You can open an ice cream shop in an area with a pizza store, even if the pizza store happens to have a little booth with ice cream, you know, one of those freezers with ice cream. It doesn't matter. But again, you can't drop the prices for 3 months to nothing and make the guy close. That's not what you do. That's the wrong kind of competition that all of us know. Okay, shkach.